Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. I think that's actually where we're going to start. This morning I wanted to spend a little bit of time, and by this I mean a little bit of time. It's a great thing to study and to work and to really understand. But I wanted to look at some things regarding sanctification or sanctified. It's sort of a family of words. It's translated saints. It's translated holy. I'm not going to get into all the different things, but you know, there's a verb form which is to make holy. And to sanctify simply means to set apart. It is to set it apart. There are other things that may take place once something is sanctified, but sanctified itself means to set apart. Okay? A simple example of this is in Genesis chapter 2, where, you know, God did this incredible work, which Deb and I were talking about this morning. You know, we're talking about mint and the different ways you can use mint. I know it sounds silly, kind of, but just mint. It's like amazing, all the stuff you can do with mint. God thought of mint, you know, and left it, and man then learns all this stuff. It's just amazing. Okay, I don't want to get sidetracked, but it is amazing. Anyway, so God did all this stuff. You know, you've got this great earth put back together, just teeming with life. And then he sanctified, he set apart the seventh day to rest. And I understand that, I think. You know, because it was an incredible amount of work. Later on in Deuteronomy, you read about Israel. As God's people, they were to sanctify or set apart the Sabbath for rest. Okay, so it's used different ways. There's a record in Jeremiah 12 where people are sanctified, set apart for destruction. Isn't that something? That's true. That's going to happen one day. So it kind of helps you to understand sanctified. Now, when it comes to the saint, to the Holy One, who has been sanctified, what we'll see is that our sanctification, our being set apart, our being called holy or a saint, is solely and only based on what Jesus Christ did and nothing else. There is nothing that you're going to do, and we'll see it, there's nothing you're going to do that can undo that setting apart for God. And when to help me picture this sanctification or what it's like, I picture it this way. Rather than setting apart, it's setting up to God. See, you are His now. Isn't that something? And it was all by the work of Jesus Christ. A simple example or way it's used here is in Ephesians, and we're familiar with all these verses, but I wanted to look at this one. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 24. Well, let's start with 23. Well, we better start in verse 22. Right after submitting yourselves one another in the reverence of Christ in 21, then it says, wives, regarding the marriage, okay, as God set it up. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. For he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. As Christ with the church, that he might sanctify it, so the husband sets apart his wife. She is sanctified, set apart from all other women. Isn't that something? And then he loves her like Christ loved the church. That is a setting apart. See, it's that unique relationship between the husband and wife. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple places where this is used. I love this one because it has the noun and the verb. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to make them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. That's the noun form of the verb. Isn't that something? Called saints, or called holy, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. This being made holy, or this being made a saint, sanctified, is imparted to those, or those that call upon the name of Jesus Christ are set apart or sanctified, called holy by God. Isn't that something? And that's the only requirement, that we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we believe on him. You confess him as Lord. You believe that God raised him from the dead. Forevermore, you are set apart as one of God's own. We're going to look at a couple other places. Ephesians chapter 1. It's really hard picking verses because there's a lot of stuff in here on. It's really wonderful. Ephesians chapter 1, and then we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in what?
In love.
No. That we should be holy. That's that word. And it's in Christ. God decided this. God purposed this. And we are holy. We are sanctified. We're set apart unto God in Christ. In verse... Verse 13, in whom you also trusted, who first trusted in Christ, or after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your deliverance, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We're sealed with that sanctified, set apart Spirit of promise. Holy Spirit is set apart from all other spirits. That's right. God is holy. He is set apart from all other gods. And you and I are sealed with that sanctified, that set apart, that Holy Spirit that is given by a set apart God. Isn't that something? Who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's by way of that Spirit that we are sanctified. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is really a Reader's Digest version of this. Boy, I remember the first time I started to get this. It just bless me. Because it really speaks to the incredible work of Jesus Christ. How incredible the work that he did was. How complete it was. It's breathtaking. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's start in verse 9. He's dealing with some things here in this wonderful city of Corinth. These saints, these holy ones, who were dealing with some things in the flesh. And he deals with that a little earlier in this chapter 6. But in verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." Okay. Then it says, "But you are what? You're washed. You are sanctified. You're set apart. You are justified or righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the what? Spirit. By the Spirit of our God." Isn't that something? Your sanctification, your righteousness, all of these things are by way of Spirit or by the Spirit of God, which you received at the new birth. This verse, or the verse, the statement that was made previous, is not speaking to actions. It's speaking to identification. Do you understand that? You are a son of God by Spirit. End of it. Yeah, but I lied yesterday. You are a what? Son of God by Spirit. See that? You're not a liar. You're a son of God. Now, I can choose to live who I am, which we're going to look at in just a moment. But I am a son of God. I'm sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And that's what we need to understand when it comes to this. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we're delivered from the death, we're washed, we're purified, we're justified, and sanctified by that Spirit that's born in us, and that's all by the work of Jesus Christ. And it is by that Spirit, by which we are sanctified, that enables us to walk with God. To walk with and for him. And to begin to live and manifest what we've been made in Christ. By way of that Spirit. In 1 Peter. Chapter 3. We're going to pick it up in verse 8. Verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Be pitiful or tender-hearted is what that means. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous or kind. Not rendering evil for evil. Or railing for railing. That's the way the world works. It's evil for evil. It's you injure me, I injure you.
No.
Right. We're not supposed to do that. But that's the way the world works. And as sanctified ones, and what we're reading here is to live who and what we are. It's really cool. We don't have to look like the world. We don't do things the way the world does them. Because we belong unto God. We've been sanctified. We're set apart unto Him. See? So, when it comes to somebody injuring us, that's where it stops. See? When somebody slanders you, that's where it stops. Knowing, verse 9, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Then you have a psalm that is cited here. It's kind of neat. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew or turn away evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. See, it's sort of neat, because the world is pretty much devoted to payback. That's how it works. But those of us who are sanctified, rather than pursue payback, we pursue what? Peace.
Peace.
See? As those who are sanctified or set apart unto God. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But, and that's justice. God is our justice. See? Isn't that something? Sometimes when it comes to these things in a practical way, it's to render an evil for an evil or to do these kinds of things seems like justice. Like it's just, like it's that which is right. But that stuff never makes it right. Only God makes things right. Right?
Right.
And who is he that will harm you if you be followers or zealots of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Isn't that something? Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Now, this is great, because this is real similar to a verse in Isaiah. We're going to look at it in a minute. But I'm going to read this again. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord Christ, is what the texts read. Sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. See? Now, keep your finger here. We're going to come right back and finish this up. But I want you to turn to Isaiah.
Did I write it down? I hope I did.
Isaiah 8, I think it is. Isaiah
8:12.
Yes! Ha! I can't believe I didn't write it down. This is great. Verse 12. You guys are familiar with this. Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he will be a sanctuary. Isn't that something? See, that's what that looks like. To sanctify the Lord himself here, it's not a citation in Peter, but it's similar. Here it applies to God, to Jehovah. And to sanctify him, what that looks like is to reverence him. See, you rely on him. You don't react to what everybody else is doing. We don't fear men. We don't fear their fear. Because here it's sanctify God. That same truth is applied to the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Peter. Isn't that awesome? See? So who is it? Well, you know what? If you suffer for righteousness' sake, be happy, man. Sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts. See? Because he's right there with you. Isn't that awesome? And so we don't live like the world lives. We don't react like the world reacts. See? Now, let's go back to 1 Peter. And you know, when we do that, when we are looking to him, people are going to want, they're going to ask you, what's this about? And I'll tell you what it's about. There's a day coming when Jesus Christ is coming back. See? That's right. It's something. So we're ready to give an answer. Because people are going to see this kind of thing. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, I don't believe is in the text. I have a little note here. But anyway, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or manner of living in who? In Christ. See, we sanctify the Lord Christ in our hearts. We've been sanctified by God in Christ. Now we sanctify Christ in our hearts. Isn't that something? Looking to him, bringing honor to him. A number of translations handle it that way. Bringing honor to Christ. See, it's pretty cool. With these things in mind, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. We're almost done. But I wanted to read this because 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 deals with living our sanctification. And it ends with the ultimate sanctification. It's pretty cool. You know, it's like, because here's why. Here's why. So let's just read it. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, verse 1, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk, and that's what we're talking about here, walk, our walk, to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments or charges we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Now, I thought I was sanctified. Right? I am. But what are we talking about here? In our walks. So you want to keep that in mind. In our walk. See? Walking who I am. Walking what I've been made. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You know, that word honor, that's that, it has the meaning of value to it. See? And it's honor. It's the honor is in light of the price that's been paid. And that price that was paid was the sufferings and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf. Not in the lust or the passions or cravings, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man overstep or go beyond and defraud his brother in this, or in any matter in this, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's sanctification. That's what we're called unto. And what we're being encouraged to do here is to walk what we've been called unto. He therefore that despises not man. The word despise is the word for reject. He who rejects not men, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit, by which we are sanctified. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. Ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep, those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's right. You know, people use that word, I have to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. They use that word rather loosely. But one of the things we got to do is get gathered. We don't have much say in that. That's a done deal because we're sanctified. This is going to happen. We are going to be, if we fall asleep prior to his return, we're going to get up. We're going to be separated out from among the dead under the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If we're alive when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we are going to be separated out from all others that are living unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our end. Isn't that something? That's our end. And so what you see here is preceding this. It's kind of neat how God does this. You know, walk whereunto you are called. Because look at, this is your end. This is your end. Isn't that something? See, and it's so encouraging. It just is encouraging to bring honor to my Lord, unto whom I'm going to be gathered. You know, how awesome is that? To be able to get to do that. And it's not about me. Isn't that awesome? You get the weight lifted off. I'm sanctified. The work's done. You know, Dan did a little thing yesterday at men's breakfast. It was awesome. You know, what people strive to be with God. Yet the word's pretty clear on the things we strive for. And it's good stuff. It's not striving to be righteous. It's not striving to be, you know, right or just before God. Those aren't the things we strive for. We strive for the believing. There's one. Yeah, it's kind of neat. Let's close in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell," referring to Christ, "and having been made peace," and that's in reference to that peace offering, "through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, brought back together that which had been separated or damaged, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy, sanctified, separated out, and unblameable. I believe that word unblameable is to be without blemish. And unreprovable, which means unimpeachable. Nothing can be brought to your charge. Isn't that something? In his sight. We read about that in Ephesians. This day's coming, where Jesus Christ is going to present us before the Father, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And he is going to present us to God himself. See? Pretty awesome. Verse 23. And this word "if" is a word, it's used in a figurative way here. And it's referring back to the reconciled, the being reconciled. So you would translate this, or you would handle it, or understand it. Understand it would be a better way to say that. You would understand it as, since you've been reconciled. Okay? Since you've been reconciled, continue in the believing. See? Walk what you've been called. Continue in the believing, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Isn't that something? You know, and then he clarifies that a little bit down in verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I meant to read verse 27 before that. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what?
Christ in you,
the hope of glory. That Christ in you is that Spirit of God. It's that Spirit of promise. It's that hope. It's that hope of glory, of what's to come, you know, when Jesus Christ himself will present us to the Father. So we carry ourselves in that way. And you know when and where we fall short? Are we sanctified?
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know, your best day will not make you more righteous or sanctified. And your worst day will not make you less righteous or sanctified. Isn't that awesome? We're free from that. So now we're free to walk it. And we have a God who will help us to walk it. By way of his Spirit. So it's pretty awesome. So, amen?